So this morning we're reading from the Grand Taraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, and these are texts 28 to 29. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please Him. Yoga is for realizing Him. All fruit of activities are ultimately rewarded by Him only. He is supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know Him. Religion, Dharma, is rendering loving service unto Him. He is the supreme goal of life. Purport. Now this is an extremely long purport, so I hope everyone's going to be all ears. Okay. That Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is the only object of worship is confirmed in these two shlokas. In the Vedic literature, there is the same objective, establishing one's relationship and ultimately reviving our lost loving service unto Him. That is the sum and substance of the Vedas. In the Bhagavad Gita, the same theory is confirmed by the Lord in His own words. The ultimate purpose of the Vedas is to know Him only. All the revealed scriptures are prepared by the Lord through His incarnation in the body of Srila Vyasadeva, just to remind the fallen souls conditioned by material nature of Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. No demigod can award freedom from material bondage. That is the verdict of all the Vedic literatures. Impersonalists who have no information of the personality of Godhead minimize the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord and put Him on equal footing with all other living beings. And for this act, such impersonalists get freedom from material bondage only with great difficulty. They can surrender unto Him only after many, many births in the culture of transcendental knowledge. One may argue that the Vedic activities are based on sacrificial ceremonies. That is true. But all such sacrifices are also meant for realizing the truth about Vasudev. Another name of Vasudev is Yajna, sacrifice. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that all sacrifices and all activities are to be conducted for the satisfaction of Yajna, or Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. This is the case also with the yoga systems. Yoga means to get in touch with the Supreme Lord. The process, however, includes several bodily features such as asana, dhyana, pranayama, and meditation. And all of them are meant for concentrating upon the localized aspect of Vasudev represented as Paramatma. Paramatma realization is but partial realization of Vasudev. And if one is successful in that attempt, one realizes Vasudev in full. But by ill luck, most yogis are stranded by the powers of mysticism achieved through the bodily process. Ill-fated yogis are given a chance in the next birth by being placed in the families of good learned Brahmins or in the families of rich merchants in order to execute the unfinished task of Vasudeva realization. If such fortunate Brahmins and sons of rich men properly utilize the chance, they can easily realize Vasudev by good association with saintly persons. Unfortunately, such preferred persons are captivated again by material wealth and honor, and thus they practically forget the aim of life. Everyone still with me? This is also so for the culture of knowledge. According to Bhagavad Gita, there are 18 items in culturing knowledge. By such culture of knowledge, one becomes gradually prideless, devoid of vanity, non-violent, forbearing, simple, devoted to the great spiritual master, and self-controlled. By culture of knowledge, one becomes unattached to hearth and home and becomes conscious of the miseries due to death, birth, old age, and disease. And all culture of knowledge culminates in devotional service to the personality of Godhead Vasudev. Therefore, Vasudev is the ultimate aim in culturing all different branches of knowledge. Culture of knowledge, leading one to the transcendental plane of meeting Vasudev, is real knowledge. Physical knowledge, in its various branches, is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita as agyan, or the opposite of real knowledge. The ultimate aim of physical knowledge is to satisfy the senses, which means prolongation of the terms of material existence, and thereby continuance of the threefold miseries. So prolonging the miserable life of material existence is nescience. But the same physical knowledge leading to the way of spiritual understanding helps one to end the miserable life of physical existence and to begin the life of spiritual existence on the plane of Vasudev. The same applies to all kinds of austerities. Tapasya means voluntary acceptance of bodily pains to achieve some higher end of life. Ravan and Hiranyakashipu underwent a severe type of bodily torture to achieve the end of sense gratification. Sometimes modern politicians also undergo severe types of austerities to achieve some political end. This is not actually tapasya. One should accept voluntary bodily inconvenience for the sake of knowing Vasudev, because that is the way of real austerities. Otherwise, all forms of austerities are classified as modes of passion and ignorance. Passion and ignorance cannot end the miseries of life. Only the mode of goodness can mitigate the threefold miseries of life. Vasudeva and Devaki, the so-called father and mother of Lord Krishna, underwent penances to get Vasudeva as their son. Lord Sri Krishna is the father of all living beings, Bhagavad Gita 14.4. Anyone know that one? I don't know it, so thank you. Thank you. Therefore, he is the original living being of all other living beings. He is the original eternal enjoyer amongst all other enjoyers. Therefore, no one can be his begetting father, as the ignorant may think. Lord Sri Krishna agreed to become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki upon being pleased with their severe austerities. Therefore, if any austerities have to be done, they must be done to achieve the end of knowledge, Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, as explained before. The original personality of Godhead expands himself by innumerable forms. Such expansions of forms is made possible by his various energies. His energies are also multifarious, and his internal energies are superior and external energies inferior in quality. They are explained in the Bhagavad Gita 7:4-6 as the para and apara prakritis. So his expansions of various forms which take place via the internal energies are superior forms, whereas the expansions which take place via the external energies are inferior forms. The living entities are also his expansions. The living entities who are expanded by his internal potency are eternally liberated persons, whereas those who are expanded in terms of the material energies are eternally conditioned souls. Therefore, all culture of knowledge, austerities, sacrifice, and activities should be aimed at changing the quality of the influence that is acting upon us. For the present, we are all being controlled by the external energy of the Lord, and just to change the quality of the influence, we must endeavor to cultivate spiritual energy. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that those who are Mahatmas, or those whose minds have been so broadened as to be engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, are under the influence of the internal potency. And the effect is that such broad-minded living beings are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord without deviation. That should be the aim of life. And what is the verdict of all the Vedic literatures? No one should bother himself with fruitive activities or dry speculation about transcendental knowledge. Everyone should at once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. No one should worship different demigods who work as different hands of the Lord for creation, maintenance, or destruction of the material world. There are innumerable powerful demigods who look over the external management of the material world. They are all different assisting hands of Lord Vasudeva. Even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are included in the list of demigods, but Lord Vishnu or Vasudeva is always transcendentally situated. Even though he accepts the quality of goodness of the material world, he is still transcendental to all the material modes. The following example will clear that matter more explicitly. In the prison house, there are the prisoners and the managers of the prison house. Both the managers and the prisoners are bound by the laws of the king. But even though the king sometimes comes in the prison, he is not bound by the laws of the prison house. The king is therefore always transcendental to the laws of the prison house, as the Lord is always transcendental to the laws of the material world. Oh, there you go. I think it's time for breakfast. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please him. Yoga is for realizing him. All fruits of activities are ultimately rewarded by him only. He is supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know him. Religion, Dharma, is rendering loving service unto him. He is the supreme goal of life. So, like we said, that was an extremely long purport. Thank you for all of you for staying fully alert. So thankfully, Srila Prabhupada sums up that whole purport in the very first sentence. I'm not sure if anyone caught it. But Prabhupada says that Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is the only object of worship, is confirmed in these two shlokas. So Krishna is the only object of worship. And that's what these two shlokas are establishing, that Krishna is the supreme goal of life. By studying the scriptures, the goal is to know Krishna. By performing sacrifice, the goal is to please Krishna. Yoga is meant to realize Krishna. Fruit of activities are rewarded by Krishna. Austerities are meant to know Krishna. Religion is service to Krishna, and that Krishna is the supreme goal of life. And in fact, that's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is establishing in general. That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Devotional service to Krishna is the ultimate occupation. And pleasing Krishna is the supreme goal of life. So therefore, the essence of Krishna consciousness is twofold. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So you have ARK, always remember Krishna. That's ark, like Noah's ark. Well, I think that was spelt different. But anyway, and never forget Krishna. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vishmatavyu najatu chit save vidi nishedashu etiya eva kinkara. So it said that all of the rules and prohibitions of the Shastras, and there's many, you know, even just in the Nectar of Devotion, there's 64 different items of devotional service. And, you know, of course, they're then narrowed down to the five, the Panchanga, the A, B, C, D, and E of spiritual life. A is for association. B, Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. C, chanting Hare Krishna. D, deity worship. And E, that's environment, living in a holy place. The A, B, C, D, and E, or existing in a holy place. So all of the rules and regulations in the scriptures are just the servant of these two principles. ARK. Come on, you have to be more alert than that. Come on. I know it's almost breakfast. ARK. NFK. Never forget Krishna. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada says in a famous purport in chapter 9, text 27 of the Bhagavad Gita, thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. So we have to mold our life in such a way that we will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Now, for those of you who live in the temple, that's very easy. You just have to follow the program. Get with the program, as it were. You know, you wake up for Mangalati. You know, then after Mangalati, you have Tulsiati. Then you chant your japa. Then you, you know, have Guru Puja and Kirtan. You hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class. You have breakfast. Haribol. Then you, you know, you perform your service throughout the day. But I was appreciating this morning because I don't live in the temple now. Of course, I try to make my home a temple. However, it's not quite the same as when you're in the association of all the Vaishnavas. It's a lot easier to chant japa. It's a lot easier to, you know, perform your service. It's a lot easier to be enthusiastic. But even so, even when we're living in the ashram still, it's very easy to remember Krishna. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is so simple that you will miss it. So therefore we have to really try and be conscious. Before we become Krishna conscious, first we have to become conscious. Sometimes in the japa period, it's very hard to remain conscious, especially if you've eaten too much the night before. However, it's our duty to mold our life in such a way that we do not forget Krishna in any circumstance. In other words, we have to connect everything to Krishna. Or not that we have to connect everything to Krishna, because everything is already connected to Krishna. Nothing is separate from Krishna. Rather, we have to see how everything is connected to Krishna. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do that as an offering unto me, Krishna says. So every aspect of our life, we have 24 hours in the day, and we have to make sure that we're always remembering Krishna. And it's important to establish that Krishna is the ultimate goal of everything. He is the param gati. He's the supreme destination. Because if you're heading out on a journey, just like yesterday, I came down from sunny Newcastle. Actually, the weather wasn't that much different from here. But we set out on our journey from Newcastle and we typed into the sat-nav, Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we knew what our goal was. But if we just driven in the car and then you haven't typed in the destination, who knows where we would have ended up. In fact, one time I had that experience that I was driving back from Wales, actually. I'd been to a meeting in Cardiff some months ago. And on the way back from Cardiff, it's not a journey that I do very often, thankfully. It took about 8 hours to get back to Sunderland from Cardiff. And that's because I added on an extra hour to the journey. Why? Because actually, I had typed in the final destination, but somehow or another, my sat-nav had switched itself off. You know, the wonders of modern technology. And then it had switched itself on again, and I hadn't typed in or re-established the goal. So therefore, I was driving along, kind of following the sat-nav, not realizing that the sat-nav was just following where I was going. And then I suddenly thought, hang on, I don't think I should be going towards kind of Manchester way. I thought, oh my God, I'm on the other side of the country. So I had to re-establish the goal, re-establish the final destination, Sunderland, Sham Sunderland, as Jananda Maharaj says. So I had to re-establish the goal or the final destination. So also as devotees, it's important to establish the goal or re-establish the goal, because sometimes we forget what the goal is in devotional service after many years. And we have so many other goals. But like it says in the Ishupanishad, Mantra 13, one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and another result is obtained by worshipping what is not supreme. So even as devotees who every day we're endeavoring to try and always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna and remember that the goal of all of our activities is to please him, it's important to reestablish that. Because what is the goal? One time, during the height of the book distribution fever, of course we're celebrating the book marathon festival tomorrow. So all the devotees were really fired up about book distribution, and a huge assembly of Vaishnavas, Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan, and one of the devotees asked Prabhupada a hooked question. You know, a hooked question, sometimes you get a question from the audience, and they already know what the answer is. They're asking because, you know, they already know what you're going to say, or they're prompting you to say something. So they said, Srila Prabhupada, what will please you the most? And they were expecting, if you distribute my books, Jai Haribol, because they were all book distributors. They wanted, you know, some kind of, in one sense, some glorification for themselves, that yes, we're book distributors, we're the most pleasing. And Prabhupada thought for a moment, he paused and he said, if you love Krishna. So we shouldn't forget what the ultimate goal of all of our activities is. It's to please Krishna. I've written down a few goals here. These are perhaps some of my goals, but perhaps you might recognize yourself in some of these, or perhaps you can suggest some others. So sometimes our goal is to be the best book distributor, or to be the best kirtan singer, Or, and then Krishna smashes you so you forget the chords when you're trying to end your kirtan. Or to be the best cook. Or to be the most humble. Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. Sometimes that's our goal. We're trying not to be really puffed up. We want to be the most humble. Or we want to be the most learned. Or we want to give the best class. We want to be the best madanga player. Or sometimes we want to wear our dhoti in the best way, you know, with all the different pleats and frills. And but, as the Ishapanishads, anyone think of any other goals? What are our goals in Krishna consciousness sometimes? If we're being honest, to get away with doing as little as possible sometimes, is that true? Right? Sorry? Maha plate. Yeah, to get the maha plate. Yeah, that's right. Or sometimes it's to not just to serve, but to swerve. You know, like when it comes time for serving prasadam, you might notice that sometimes devotees, they start, can you serve prasadam? They choose their time just to chant Gayatri right when it's time to do some service. So, you know, so we have our own little ways. What are our goals? So sometimes it's just to get in the sleeping bag, you know, because we're just really tired. You know, we only had 5 hours, 55 minutes last night rather than 6. So, Prabhu, I didn't get enough sleep last night. So we've all got different goals. But the Ishapanishad says, you know, one will bring one result, the other will bring another. So if our motivation is to please Krishna, then that will bring Krishna Prema. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Jai Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki. So there you go. One will bring Krishna, and that was good timing, and the other one will increase our false ego and take us further away from Krishna. And sometimes from an external point of view, devotional service performed by two people may appear to look the same. From an external point of view, both are distributing books, both are cooking, both are, you know, collecting the rubbish after Janmashtami. You have your big Janmashtami festivals here. However, they may not be the same. They may look the same. So, for instance, if you have two people starting at the same starting place, and one person's going in a straight line, and the other person is 2 degrees off. Now, after 10 meters, you won't notice any difference. After 100 meters, you may not notice that much difference. But if you go a mile, if you go 10 miles, if you go 100 miles, if you go 1,000 miles, if you go to the very end of your life, you might find that the straight line back to Godhead is here, but you're miles over there, just because you had 2 angles slightly off, because your motivation wasn't correct, or because, you know, we'd forgotten what the goal was. We hadn't re-established the goal to go to Sunderland, and we'd ended up going to Manchester. No offense to anyone from Manchester, by the way. It's also a very nice place. So, we have to re-establish the goal is Krishna. So now we're going to analyze the purport a little bit more. It's an extremely long purport, so we're not going to get too in-depth, but we're just going to analyze each of these points a little bit. So in the scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, Vasudev. So Srila Prabhupada said the sum and substance of the Vedas is to establish one's relationship with Krishna and ultimately revive our lost loving service unto him. And he also says that the ultimate purpose is to know him. And he says this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Does anyone know which verse that refers to? 15:15, yes. Vedais cha sarva aham eva vedyo. By all the Vedas I am to be known. And in fact, that's why Srila Vyasadeva, that's the last verse, right? Savasya chaham hridi sani vishto mata smritim gyanam apohanam cha vedais cha sarva aham eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vid eva chaham. So Vyasadeva, he was very morose at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because he hadn't directly glorified the personality of Godhead and his devotional service. And therefore, Narad Muni, he comes along. And Srila Prabhupada says, we are very fortunate now that Narad Muni has appeared in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the spiritual master, he chastised his disciple and he put him on the straight and narrow. You know, sometimes we don't like to be chastised, but it's for our own good. So Vyasadeva, he was chastised and he said, yeah, you've translated all the Vedas, you know, the Mahabharata, the Upanishads, but you haven't directly pointed to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam was written. And then the next thing is that the purpose of sacrifice is to please Krishna. Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, text 9, Yajna Tat Kamanon Yatra. I would try and engage the audience a little bit more, but otherwise I'm noticing there's not so much time. So we'll try and keep it streamlined as possible. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. And what is that sacrifice? What is that yajna? Krishnavanam tvisa krishnam sango pangastrapashadam yajyai sankitana praya yujantihi sumedashaha. In the age of Kali, persons with sufficient brain substance, sumedashaha, that's what Prabhupada translates it as. This is like politically correct statement. Like if someone's very short, you don't say they're short, you say they are vertically challenged. Or if someone is very wide, you don't say they're fat, you say they are horizontally challenged. So if someone is not very intelligent, you say you don't have sufficient brain substance. So Prabhupada says, those with sufficient brain substance in the age of Kali, not Prabhupada, actually, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, but Prabhupada translates it, they worship the Lord by performing the Sankirtan Yajna. And what is the Sankirtan Yajna? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's chanting Hare Krishna, right? No, it's wrong. It's not chanting Hare Krishna. Now, this is a very controversial point in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. No, it's not just chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes we forget and we think this is the Yuga Dharma to chant Hare Krishna, congregational chanting. But it's not. It's to propagate the holy name. And I'm going to now confirm this, because this is confirmed in a very nectarian verse. Actually, I read this in one purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada says the Yuga Dharma is to propagate the holy name. And I always remembered that. So when I was preparing for this class, I typed that in to Google Guru, propagate, and I actually got a really nice verse from the Adi Leela, chapter 17, text 316. Tahin Madje Prema Dana Vishesha Karan Yuga Dharma Krishna Nama Prema Pracharan. So this is Prabhupada's translation. The third chapter specifically describes the distribution of love of Godhead. It also describes the religion of the age, which is simply to distribute the holy name of Lord Krishna and propagate the process of loving him. What a nectar verse. So pracharan means to propagate or to distribute. So I looked up in the English dictionary the definition of propagate. So it said it's to spread and promote an idea or theory widely, or to widely spread, or as we say in ISKCON, every town and village. So it's not just to chant Hare Krishna. It's nice when we have kirtan in the temple, but sankirtan, san means complete. So sankirtan means complete glorification. So in order for it to be complete glorification of Krishna, that means that everybody and everything has to be engaged in glorifying Krishna. Otherwise, it's not complete. So that means we have to go out. We can't just expect people to come to the temple. We have to take the temple to them. So we have to go out on Harinam Sankirtan, chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have to distribute the holy name. We have to distribute books. We have to distribute prasadam. We have to invite people, come. Because they're not always coming. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, I will not rest until the 14 worlds are chanting Hare Krishna. So if that's Bhaktivinod Thakur speaking, he's one of the previous acharyas. We're supposed to be following in his footsteps. So we shouldn't think, oh, I don't want to go out today. You know, oh, I can't be bothered, I'm feeling a bit sick, or I only had 5 hours, 55 minutes sleep last night. I missed out on 5 minutes, and therefore I just can't go out today. No, I will not rest until the 14 worlds are chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the Yuga Dharma, not only to chant, but to propagate. Okay, yoga is for realizing him. So Srila Prabhupada said that yoga in the purport is meant to meditate upon the Paramatma. He said, but the Paramatma is just a partial representation of Vasudev, Krishna. And of course, the famous verse, last verse of chapter 6, of all yogis in the Bhagavad Gita, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So this is the ultimate goal of yoga, is to be connected with Krishna and to be engaged in his loving service. Then he is supreme knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, he says that the ultimate aim of physical knowledge is to satisfy the senses. And Prabhupada, of course, gives his famous example of a row of many zeros. Or as Prabhupada said, would it in Bengali, jiro, jiros. You can have a row of jiros. And this is like, material knowledge. If there's no Krishna, but when you put Krishna at the front, or when you engage your knowledge in serving Krishna, then it's like putting a one at the front of all of those jiros. And then it becomes a huge number. And Prabhupada said that real knowledge means to know the difference between matter and spirit and the controller of both. This is real knowledge. Or in other words, to know who we are, who is Krishna, and what is our relationship with him. One time in the early days of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada turned up at a temple. And these were the days when if you'd been a devotee for 2 months, you were like a most senior in the movement. So there was one, Prabhupada was going to do an initiation. And there was one boy, one bhakti, he'd been coming to the temple for a week or 2 weeks. So then Prabhupada said, who is to be initiated? To the temple president. And Prabhupada said, what about this boy, Bhakta John? And then he said, Srila Prabhupada, no, he is a new boy, Srila Prabhupada. He is not ready to be initiated. And Prabhupada said, I will decide who is ready for initiation. So he said, Bhakta John, come here. And he said, Bhakta John, who is Krishna? And Bhakta John said, Srila Prabhupada. Or he may have even been Swamiji at that time. Swamiji, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very good. And then, who are you? And he said, Swamiji, I am his eternal servant. Prabhupada said, very good, I will initiate you. Because he understood the essence of all knowledge. Who is Krishna? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who am I? I am his eternal servant. What is my relationship? To serve him eternally. So I'm not saying that we should get away with the mentorship system you have here at the manor or in the UK. And that should be the only qualification for initiation. You know, to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I'm his eternal servant. But it's an interesting point that Prabhupada considered that he was fit for initiation. Mm. So, austerities are performed to know him. By the way, I am actually almost at the end of my class. I know some of you may be itching for breakfast just now. Actually, we're on austerities now, so don't worry. Perform a few extra minutes of austerity, you know. Resist the tongue pulling you to prasadam. So Srila Prabhupada mentions Ravan and Hiranyakashipu, and also modern politicians. We won't say who Prabhupada's referring to, but Prabhupada refers to this modern politician in the Bhagavad Gita, not so modern now. However, he says that these type of austerities that were performed by Ravan, Hiranyakashipu, and modern politicians, these austerities are performed in the mode of passion and ignorance. Why? Because they want something. You know, some mystic powers or some recognition or like this. But then he mentions Devaki and Vasudev, who performed austerities to get Krishna as their son. Now, people are performing austerities all the time. There are some people who work two or three jobs. Right? There are some people who they stay up all night when they go to a nightclub. And, you know, like I was saying, sometimes we're disappointed because we, you know, we've missed 5 minutes of rest and we're just all the time thinking, oh, I need to catch up with my rest. So people are performing austerities all the time. And it's easy to perform austerities for sense gratification, but it's not so easy to perform them for Krishna. You know, on near Jala Kadashi or something like that, the mind's freaking out. I want to drink, I want to eat. Sometimes the mind is freaking out even during japa, when you wouldn't have usually eaten or drank at that point anyway, but the mind's saying, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, I'm tired. Just see, the mind is just, it's out of control. So on these days, like a Kadashi, and actually we get a chance to realize how much our mind is out of control and bring it under control. Perform some austerities. Austerities are the wealth of the Brahman. So austerities in the mode of passion and ignorance, they bring repeated birth and death. But transcendental austerities to please Krishna, such as going out on the book marathon. Many of us have been out on the December book marathon, and it was quite cold this year, right? It was quite snowy. I noticed your marathon here was called Against All Odds. I'm not sure if that meant because it was so snowy and you couldn't even get the cars out. I remember in Scotland sometimes up on the top of the hill at Crunabavon, sometimes we literally could, we got snowed in. And we had to have Prabhupada Prana used to come in his four-wheel drive because then that could actually drive us out of the snow. So against all odds, we go out to distribute these books to please Krishna, to please Srila Prabhupada. So these type of austerities, they will take us back to Godhead. And religion is rendering loving service unto him. Savai pum sam paro dharmo, yato bhaktir doksaje, hoitakiya pratihata, yayatma supersediti. This is a nectarian verse. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that by which men can attain to the loving devotion unto the transcendent Lord. Now, this is the important part. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Wouldn't that not be nice to be completely satisfied? Put your hands up if you're completely satisfied. Okay, one devotee over here. So we should all take the dust from his lotus feet. Actually, generally speaking, personally speaking, I am satisfied sometimes, like just before prasadam. Or, you know, something like that. But I'm not always completely satisfied. So that means the last thing is that we have to make Krishna the supreme goal of our life and perform uninterrupted, unmotivated service to Krishna 24/7, 365 days a year with your BMW. That's your body, mind, and words. Fully surrendered, body, mind, and words, BMW. Then you will be, as Prabhupada said, fully satisfied. You hear Dina Bandhu Prabhu sometimes in Vrindavan, he does an impression of Srila Prabhupada. Then you will be fully satisfied. So, this is the goal. When we make Krishna the supreme goal of our life, and we perform uninterrupted, unmotivated, devotional service to Krishna, then we will be fully satisfied. And I'm going to end with a nice quote from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 76. This is one of my favorite lines in all of Prabhupada's purports. He says, "The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened, and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment." Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande. So I don't know, I've gone 4 minutes over. I'm not sure if there's time for questions. If anyone has any questions or any reflections, so reflection is something that you've heard in the lecture, that's particularly stuck in your mind that you're going to remember. So if someone says, what was that guy talking about? You say, it was this. So if anyone has any reflections or any questions, then please go ahead.